Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Zion. Hey, this is how you do church during a pandemic. Yay, we meet outside, and what a great day for beautiful weather, too. So I know we want to visit a lot. Hopefully we can do that afterwards. But I want us to just think about how we've had to be creative this past year, because things have changed so much day to day, week to week. It's changed for us just providing worship and thinking about what does it mean to be a body of believers caring for each other when we have to social distance. So today feels like comfort, like coming home to something familiar that we've really missed. And I just thank God for you being here and for the things that we've learned, maybe not always willingly through this past year, but we're still together and growing and seeking after our God in all of it. God has been with us. God has been at work among us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this beautiful sunshine and this day that we can gather and worship you and give our praises to you and our gratitude for the ways that you have walked with us. Bless our time together. Help us to encourage, support, and uplift one another today as we see each other face to face as your body. Bless our time together. Amen. Stan, would you let me just do a few little announcements. There are bulletins on this table over here. There's a box for your offering. And there's some also handouts for children. So you can pick those up there. Anything else I'm not thinking of? Restrooms, you can go through this door behind us, use the restrooms on this end of the building. Or the doors at the main entrance are open also. Yeah, thank you.
So we have a call to worship, and those of you that have a bulletin, look in your bulletin for the call to worship. And if you don't have one, just listen carefully, but I'm going to read the leader part, and you guys respond with the people. Open our ears. Open our eyes. Open our arms. Open our minds. Open our hearts. Let's worship together. Jana will lead us in a song.
I know it isn't the greatest to sing with a mask on, but we're going to do the best we can. You do have words. You have words to the songs as an insert in your bulletin. If you don't want to follow the screen up front, the words to the songs are in your bulletin.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. These things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find.
Seeing the full screen, so you might need to start that slideshow again, but it's time for the children's story. And even though Vanya is here, she recorded it, so we're going to try something. If any of you kids want to come forward in this area up here, we just need to have you stay 3 feet apart. So you might want to come up and do it in front of the screen. You'll see Vanya a little bit better. I'm going to put this microphone here so that we can all hear the story a little bit better, though. Come on up, kids, if you want to. Anybody want to do it?
Is that Perfect. Better now, Stan?
Yeah, that looks better. We got the full screen.
Great.
Okay, just a minute, Gina, as we have some kids coming forward. Okay, Gina, you can start it.
Good morning, Zion kids. It's so good to see you again. How many of you have ever talked on the telephone to somebody? You know, sometimes when I talk on the phone, I can talk to somebody for a really, really long time, and I have lots of things that I want to say to them. And other times, I might pick up the phone and say, "Hi, this is Vonnie, how are you?" And they might say, "Fine," and then I might kind of not really know what to say, because sometimes that happens. And you know, when we pray to God, it's kind of like talking on the phone. Sometimes we have lots of things we want to tell God or we want to ask God about, and other times we really don't know what we want to say and we have a really hard time saying it. But you know what? Jesus gave us a prayer that we can say, and it's a prayer that we used to say when we were in Sunday school. Every single Sunday, we would say it with Chris down in the basement after we were done singing. And it's the Lord's Prayer. And I think a lot of you can remember it. So even though we haven't had Sunday school for a year, and hopefully soon we'll be able to have it again, I want to say the Lord's Prayer, just so we can remember it and so we can think about how, you know what, sometimes when we really don't know what to say to Jesus or what we want to pray about, we can pray the Lord's Prayer, because that gives us an example of what prayer can be. And today, Pastor Bill is going to be talking about the Lord's Prayer too, and about praying. So let's say the Lord's Prayer together. And if you can remember it, I want you to say it with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you for saying that with me. As we end today, I'd like to have us pray again and talk to Jesus for a little bit. So pray with me. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the example that Jesus gave us on how we should pray. Help us to understand that prayer is just talking to you, thanking you for all that you do for us, being able to ask you to lead us in the things in our daily lives, and just telling you what's on our mind. In your name, amen. See you next Sunday.
For our scripture this morning, I'll be reading Matthew 6, verses 5 through 18, and this is from the New Living Translation. And now about prayer, Jesus says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in synagogues where everyone can see them. I assure you that that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father secretly. Then your Father, who knows all secrets, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered only by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, because your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be honored. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. Give us our food for today, and forgive us our sins, just as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. And when you fast, don't make it obvious, as the hypocrites do, who try to look pale and disheveled so that people will admire them for their fasting. I assure you that that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face, then no one will suspect you are fasting, except your Father, who knows what you do in secret. And your Father, who knows all secrets, will reward you.
Well, good morning, everyone. It is good to see those that are with us here in the parking lot. It's also good to have some folks watching on Zoom. There's probably, about 70 some people here in the parking lot this morning. I know some folks are at home watching too. And the neighbors, maybe they can hear us from their home too this morning. We are continuing in the Sermon on the Mount this morning. We've been in this series for quite a few weeks. I hope you're enjoying it, learning things, and being challenged by it. And again, just the understanding of looking at God's Word in a way that helps us see more and more who God is, recognizing Jesus' teaching on the mountain, who Jesus is, the power of the Holy Spirit revealing to us new understandings of old truths and wisdom. Impart it to us today, and maybe in new ways as we look at the text again. This morning, this focus on prayer, but in this focus on prayer, we recognize the hope, the encouragement, the challenge of working together as God's people. And part of what is covenant together here at Zion is that we are doing this together as a Christ-centered community, worshiping God, extending our Anabaptist branch into our world, bearing the lasting fruit of discipleship, and planting seeds of God's reign through hospitality, service, and reconciliation with God and others. Planting seeds. How many this week have planted some seeds? Literally. That is part of the season that we are in. And as we do that, I'm reminded again and again of the fact that we have the opportunity to continue to plant the seeds of God's love in wherever we are in any season. And I hope we continue to do that. Authentic prayer. The title of the sermon this morning is Pray Like You Mean It. Think about intentional prayer. Pray like you mean it. In this sermon, Jesus is again pulling out an understanding of taking the principles of the law. And we looked at quite a bit of those principles in the past few weeks in chapter 5 and looking at these different understandings of the law and Jesus coming on the scene and saying and proclaiming that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. Jesus doesn't do away with the law. Jesus fulfills that law. And because of the character that Jesus calls us to be like Jesus, that character that all of us can carry in that we have the Holy Spirit within us, it impacts, it makes a difference, it changes then what we do in life, how we act, what we talk about. And this morning, how we pray and how we fast. This authentic prayer Jesus calls us to, and he puts it in contrast with the hypocrites. He says, don't be like the hypocrites. Now we know in the book of Matthew, Matthew is really pointing to the fact that Jesus is King, Jesus is Messiah. And that authenticity of Jesus' teaching goes up against the leaders of the church of that day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And so when he says, don't be like the hypocrites, he's really, again, going after the authenticity of who the Pharisees and Sadducees are. And even looking back at the law and how the law got misinterpreted by the Pharisees, Sadducees, teachers of the law, and misappropriated towards the people, calling them out to do things that Jesus clearly said they were missing the mark. And so this morning he does that again in this text, saying, don't be like the hypocrites. It takes authentic prayer. This morning I just want to pull out four, these are, I call them characteristics. We can call them points because a good sermon needs some points to it, right? So these are four characteristics of prayer that Jesus calls us to. Jesus taught us, the followers on the Sermon on the Mount, he's teaching us today, the act of prayer has these characteristics. So here they are, four of them. Prayer is private. Now, Jesus said, don't make a big deal about this prayer. Don't go out and, you know, into the marketplace. Don't be all showy, trying to impress people, but pray in private. And it's in those moments of being with God in private. We go and we close the door, we pray to God. There God is meeting us. And it says, God sees what's done in secret. Now, sometimes we hear those words and we've taken that as a negative. God sees what's done in secret and it's the bad things we do. But in prayer, it is that connection with God. One person defined prayer as the heart of people in communion with the heart of God. I like that. The heart of people, my heart, in communion with the heart of God. So prayer is private. So then the question would be, Pastor, why do you always pray in public? What's up with that? And how many of us gather in prayer groups, pray with other people? And Jesus said prayer is private. Now, I know in the Bible there's places where Jesus prays to the multitudes. Remember in giving thanks for the bread and fishes, and suddenly there's so much that everybody has plenty to eat and there's 12 baskets left over. So there is examples, and I would say there's a place for public prayer. But as a person who does pray in public, one of the things that I think is important for me to remember is that prayer is private. And even in public prayer, there is a connection of my heart being in communion with God's heart. And if all my prayer is only done in the public places or with other people, I think I'm missing out. I'm lacking in something, because Jesus says that we're to go in private and pray. And I think some of the reasons for that, even in the time of Jesus, was the fact that there's so many distractions around us. I mean, I love being outside for church. Isn't this great? And I know that if I just take a few steps over this way, I can see Mount Hood. And even as we were sitting here, the geese flew over. There was a hawk flying around. These are all good things. But they can also be distractions. And there's a part of what the characteristic of prayer that is private is the fact that we sit and focus in on God, Jesus, asking the Holy Spirit, reveal to us the heart of God. All right, prayer is private. There is a place for public prayer. But again, if it's only public or it's only with others, I think we are missing out. We need to connect with God. And that goes to the second point, where Jesus is saying, don't be fancy with your prayers. You don't need to pray in the King James Version language. Well, it doesn't say that exactly in the Greek in the text, but the concept being that you and I, when we pray, we need to have our prayers really pointed and direct. We don't need to be all fancy and use lots of words. God wants to hear what's on our heart. What is it that's really on my heart, of concern for me, that I want to direct and ask for in prayer? Now, does this mean that I always have to know what I'm saying when I'm praying? Sometimes I don't know what I'm saying. Sometimes it's not clear in my head. I think Julie would give testimony, my wife would give testimony, the fact that sometimes I have to do a lot of processing in my mind before I speak what I'm thinking. And so pointed prayer isn't that I have everything figured out. Sometimes I do need to really have a conversation with God and do some back and forth and say, God, I'm trying to understand, I'm trying to figure this out, and I just don't even know how to pray, and it's not making any sense to me. Jesus isn't saying we can't do that. What Jesus is saying is that speak with our own words. You know, in the time of Jesus' teaching here, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the leaders of the church, they were getting really good at long-winded, long-worded, fancy prayers. And that's what Jesus was coming against. And he was calling that part of the hypocritical nature. And he's, and again, just saying, don't go on babbling. God's not going to hear us more because we have more words. Prayer is pointed. So it's private, it's pointed. And also then, this isn't a P. I didn't come up with a P for this one, but prayer is faith. Prayer is faith. It's a working out of our faith, but it's just a nature of an action of faith that God calls us to. It's connecting with a characteristic of God that is his providential power. God knows what you need, Jesus said, and God will reward you. There's a connection in prayer that we make with what with the understanding of God's infinite grace and also God's power. Well, if God already knows what I'm going to pray. God knows my needs. Before I ask, why do I need to ask? Not only does God know my needs and what I need before I ask, God already knows what the answer is going to be and how it will be answered. Seems to me, if that's the case, why do I need to pray? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, a little bit later in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." So there seems to be, in the nature of who we are as people and what God asks of us to do, is that we do need to pray and ask God for that which we desire. God knows what we need. We don't always need what we want. Not a lot of amens in the parking lot from that one this morning. We don't always need what we want. And sometimes we don't want what we need. Think of it this way. Imagine with me, if you could, that in the parking lot off to the north, is that way north? I've only been here a little over a year. So here off to the north, imagine with me, if you could, parked in the parking lot, a giant semi-truck, tractor trailer, a box truck. And it's locked up. But inside that tractor trailer truck, and maybe it's a double or a triple, God's pretty generous, are the blessings, the answers to prayers, to your prayers, the rewards, the gifts, the things that God wants to give to me are in that truck. But it's locked. And the key that unlocks those blessings is Jesus. And as Jesus unlocks those blessings, opens up the back of that truck, I now have access to those blessings. But it still would take an action on my part to go get them. And so it helps me to think about the action to receiving the blessings, the answers to the prayers, is saying to God, the request, this is what I desire. And remembering that God gives us what we need, not what we want. So it's not a form of what some have taken to be kind of this name it and claim it concept. That if I want something, I just need to pray enough and then I'll get it. No, it's not that. You know, I really would like to have a new truck. A new Ford F-150 Super Crew cab, maybe a Lariat. God, if it's in your heart, maybe a King Ranch edition. And if I just pray enough, won't I get that? Isn't that what's being taught here? And I would say no. Now, could there be a new pickup in my truck for me? That could be. I don't have that sense yet that there is. But God does want to hear what we desire. It doesn't mean we're going to get it, but he wants to hear that. God desires that connection, that communion with us. Interestingly enough, there are times when God gives us things we don't even ask for. Blessing. That doesn't fit well into my illustration, so let's not dwell on that. But it's the grace and mercy of God that these blessings, these rewards come to us. And part of the connection that Jesus is encouraging us to in this understanding of grace is in prayer. In the book of James, we read that James is in his letter is teaching, and he says, you don't have because you don't ask. And when you ask, you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasure. I don't always know why God doesn't answer our prayers. But if I've been praying about something and there's been no answer from God on it, then I want to check my heart, because James calls us to that. What are my motives? And I'll tell you, I can justify requests pretty good these days to make my motives look good. But God sees what's in our hearts. And that's what we need to remember when we go to God in prayer. It's that connection with our heart to God's heart. So prayer is private. It's pointed. It is faith. It's an action of faith. And then we see here this sample prayer that Jesus gives us. We call it the Lord's Prayer. It's a prayer that we say in public often. It is not the combination that gets us the stuff we want. But it is a sample prayer for us to follow. If I really want that Ford pickup and I just pray this prayer 100 times for 100 days in a row, will I get it? No, that's not what this is about. What this is about is, again, this authenticity. In this prayer that Jesus gives to the listeners on the Sermon on the Mount and giving to us today, in this is, again, this call to be authentic people, character of God in us, to say what we mean, to pray what we mean, to not be like the hypocrites. So if you look at this prayer, again, noting that it gives us this pattern to follow. And maybe for some of us that we pray this prayer on a daily basis, a weekly basis, maybe monthly basis, maybe we pray it whenever we do it in church, whatever it might be. But it's a call to a pattern, an understanding. And I think I've given this to you before, but a pattern that comes out of this, the Lord's Prayer, is the ACTS, acts. It's kind of helpful for me to remember this in praying, that in a pattern of prayer, A stands for just the acknowledgement, the understanding of who God is, the adoration of God, of who God is. And that's how this prayer starts, our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. So it's that adoration. And then next is confession. Just that recognition of times when I see that I've fallen short, I've not done all that God has called me to do, to confess that which is sin in our lives, which leads us then to thanksgiving. So adoration is the A, C is confession, T is thanksgiving. Just thankfulness to God for who God is, for sending Jesus so that we might have freedom from our sins. Praise to the Holy Spirit. And then finally, the S is supplication. Supplication, a fancy word because we need it to fit in with the acts, is just asking for that which we would want God to do, which is, again, what God's calling us to in this teaching here from Jesus. To ask, to go after that, which is the desires of our heart, to connect with God. And maybe there are times when I think I have connected with God. I know what God wants in this situation. It is in those times I have to be very careful when I think I know what God wants. I might be headed down the wrong path because suddenly it becomes about what I know, who I am, rather than who God is. And I have been known to do this, that I know what the answer is going to be. I know how it's going to work out. I got to let go of that. And maybe it does work out that way, but maybe it doesn't. One of the things that Jesus points to again, and we'll see this more in Matthew, is that we need to have that willingness to be working at prayer, connecting with God, that willingness to give over to God, that which is God, to pick up that which God gives us and how we act, our righteousness. But verse 14 in our text today, Matthew chapter 6, if you forgive others when they sin against you, God's going to forgive you. And I like that part of the verse. God's forgiving you. But it goes on. If you don't forgive others, then God's not going to forgive you. If prayer is private, pointed actions of faith, here's the pattern. We must be willing to forgive others. And so when we find that hard to do, because they're wrong and I'm right, it calls me back to that seeking after God. God, it appears to me that I'm right. Maybe I'm not right. Perhaps what God calls us to at times, when we pray like we mean it, is it's not about who's right or wrong, but it's about that connection with God. Jesus goes on in the Sermon on the Mount and he says, when you fast, not if you fast, but when you fast. And again, making that connection, don't be like the hypocrites. Be authentic. And if we find it a struggle to fast and we think, well, what's that about? Fasting is really to help us to remember that our ultimate sustenance, sustaining ability, isn't about the food that we eat, but it's about our connection with God. Do we need to eat? Absolutely. In fact, the more I talk about eating, the more hungry I get. So yeah, we need, our bodies need to eat, but once in a while, can I just stop eating? Maybe it's just one meal. Maybe it's a day, maybe it's a couple days, maybe it's a week. It's never been a week for me. But then when I get hungry, it's a reminder, helps me think about who God is, who God's created me to be, what is God calling me to do. And God, you've called us to be authentic, to not be hypocrites. Are there things that I need to change in my life? And maybe fasting is a way to communicate and connect with God even more in that understanding. So when we fast, don't let anybody know about it. So thinking this morning, prayer, this connection with God, our heart with God's heart, we can do this. We can be authentic in how we connect with God. And as we do this, tapping into the blessings, the answers to prayer, that truckload of blessings that God wants to bestow upon us, as we do this work, I believe God calls us into greater relationship with God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and also greater relationship with those around us. And so that we can function the way that we aren't hypocrites, that we aren't hiding who we are, that we aren't just trying to gloss over relationships and pretend like everything's okay, but that we are challenging and walking with one another. You know, this call to not be a hypocrite reminded me of a text in Galatians where Paul is writing this letter and he addresses hypocrites. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, it talks about Peter coming. It says, when Peter or Cephas came to Antioch, Paul says, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. So this is Peter the apostle, and Paul's saying that he's condemned. That's pretty harsh words. But he goes on and says, before certain men came from James, James was a Jew, a leader of the Jewish church, Peter, he used to eat with those Gentiles, those uncircumcised Gentiles. But when the Jews arrived, Peter draws back and separates himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group, to the Jews. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. So Peter isn't being authentic. And Paul sees that, and he calls him out on it. And says to Peter, you got to straighten up and be real. Be who you are no matter who is in the area. And that same call is on us today. Be who you are. in Christ, no matter who is around, love one another, even when you run into people that you don't really like, people who are different than you. I mean, this is a text that really is an emphasis on reconciliation, social justice, racism, all of that's in here. Don't be a hypocrite. And if Jesus calls us to that, then I believe he gives us the capacity and the ability to do it. And it appears to me in the Sermon on the Mount, prayer is a huge part of it. Taking the time for private prayer. So here's the challenge. Because what's a good sermon without a challenge? This week, do I have to be a part of this challenge? I'm the speaker. Can you this week take whatever time you spent last week in private prayer and double it? Now, for some, zero times double is nothing. Don't get away with that. If you didn't spend any time this last week in private prayer, how can you spend more? How can you and I spend more time in private prayer? So I'm tempted to pray, but we're in public. I do some private praying too. So I'm going to lead us in a prayer, but don't forget to spend time with God in private prayer. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this gorgeous weather. The sunshine, the warmth, the opportunity to be together as a congregation, whether we're at home watching on the computer or here in the parking lot. God, you are gracious toward us, giving us this opportunity of connecting with you through prayer. Help us to increase the time that we spend in private prayer. God, open up my heart more and more to be in communion with your heart. Amen.
Our Father who art in heaven,
our Father who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Forever.
Thank you, Wendell. If you're listening on Zoom for that beautiful song, the Lord's Prayer, that we can share together today. We want to remember Floyd and Claudia.
It's been very good to worship with many of you here in person this morning, and looking forward to some fellowship afterwards as we talk a bit. At the beginning of the service, the call to worship that we read together was from the new hymnal, and the benediction I'm going to read is also from the new hymnal. So there's a lot more than just songs in that book. So here's our benediction. God clearly loves us, and through Christ left us an example that we might follow in his footsteps. Christ is the light that has come into the world. May God grant that this light shine around you and that you walk in it. Amen.